I don't.
Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Reporting live from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. Today actually is my birthday. I don't usually talk about that on the air at all, but hey, I guess the reason I was thinking about it is I've been thinking about the psychology of the Trump voter. What is it that causes people to support someone who repeatedly lies to them, who repeatedly appeals to people's baser notions? What is it that causes, say, an evangelical Christian to support a guy who has regularly cheated on several of his wives and had an affair with a porn star and then lied about it, not to mention, you know, someone who sexually harasses others and things like that? And I guess I was talking with some of my friends in West Virginia and other areas of the country. And I was saying, you know, in West Virginia, don't they realize that this guy's fooling them? I mean, I grew up in Nashville, Tennessee. Yeah, that's not small town South, but it is the South. And there was definitely a suspicion for fast-talking New Yorkers, right? There's a suspicion for rich people who slickly put things over on people. You know, I was wondering when it was that they were going to give up and when it was that they were going to recognize that they were being cheated. And he said, Mark, it doesn't matter how much they're lied to. It doesn't matter how much money he takes from them. They feel apart. They now, their inherent racism, the things that they've been thinking and feeling for a long time, they're free to talk about. They belong. They belong. And it got me thinking. It got me thinking about belonging and loneliness and why I'm late to the studio today, because 100 people all sent me texts and emails and Facebook messages wishing me a happy birthday, which I really do appreciate. I actually didn't used to put my birthday on Facebook. Got a few calls from friends and family, and this year I did it for the first time, and I'm hearing from so many people. It's kind of weird. But I feel connected to lots of communities. I feel connected politically to the political community. I feel connected. I have a very strong extended family. I've got a good network of friends. I've got people in my community. I've got neighbors. I've got people from other places where I've lived, old friends. That's my community. And my community has reached out to me today in ways that frankly surprised me by how much love I've gotten today. Thank you very much. But I was thinking about the kind of people who join the alt-right, which is just a fancy euphemism for neo-Nazis. The people who marched in Charlottesville. Had a forum on Charlottesville just a couple days ago at a local synagogue, and the rabbi was talking again about the sense of belonging. And you know what? We all need a sense of belonging. We all need to know that we are welcome. Human beings are social creatures. And we need to know that people care about us. It's interesting. A lot of the nasty misogynist, which is, of course, a fancy word for women hating, people in the darkest webs of the internet, the people who often turn out to commit crimes against women or take a gun and commit mass murder. Many of them have their own little terrorist group. It's not ISIS, it's not Al-Qaeda, it's not even white supremacy. They call it incels. Incel is the Nazi, neo-Nazi term, alt-right term for involuntarily celibate. And it's a bunch of men complaining that they can't get laid. Let's face it, that's what it is. And I don't know. This is where I guess I imagine the 400-pound man on the internet not to attack heavyset people, because many of them are well-loved and have great, great relationships. I mentioned that just because that was a meme that the president used. But the point is that rather than get out and make yourself a better person, make yourself more attractive, make yourself have friends, get out and join your community and do things with others, these people are complaining. And rather than complain, oh, you know, this girl didn't like me, they say they're involuntarily celibate. And I've been thinking about what that means. It's really a rude thing, actually. They're saying that involuntarily, they don't want to be celibate. Okay. Note that they don't really want to have a relationship, but they want to have sex. And it suggests that it's somehow the fault of those women, usually, that don't want to have sex with the people. It's their fault, and they're angry, and they have this whole incel community. Does that mean that no women in the world want to have sex with these people? Well, if they're hateful and violent and bigoted, that may be the case. Or maybe they're not getting the women that they want. But it strikes me as it's an outward blaming. That it's a whole community of people who are outward blaming. And if I had to define a Trumpist, I would say it's someone who is outward blaming. I didn't get that job. I'm a white male. A black man got the job. A black woman got that job. A woman got the job. A gay person got the job. A China person, as the West Virginia Senate candidate recently called Asian Americans, got the job. It's all about not taking responsibility for oneself, but blaming others for one's own faults. You know, and Hillary Clinton represented all of that, right? She's intelligent. That's a threat. She's a woman. That's a threat. She wants to embrace people of all diversities, which is a threat, I guess, for some racist white men. She embraces immigrants, which is a threat for some. And these insular people who are lonely, who don't have good outlets to associate with people, need an outlet, and they find it. They often find it on the internet. They might find it on Facebook. They might find it in other darker areas of the web. And the Trumpists find each other. And this belonging is greater than the thing they belong to. When I march for our lives, when I go out and march against gun violence, as I've done, or when I join the women's marches, I've done, or when I join marches against the Iraq War, which I did 15 years ago, it's nice to have, or gay rights marches, of which I've done more than I can count. It's nice to have the fellowship. I like the belonging. I was just at the March for Our Lives. That was just a couple months ago. And to see hundreds of thousands of people crowd Washington, D.C., all marching to put a stop to gun violence. Yeah, it felt great. It felt great. Everyone was very friendly. Everyone was very warm. We all were marching for a common cause. It felt like you belong. But to me, the cause was greater than the feeling of belonging. If all those people were marching for something I didn't believe in, I wouldn't feel a part. I would feel separate from that group. I think for the Trump voter, the feeling of belonging is more important than what you're belonging to. it feels to me like someone who lets you express your racism publicly or your misogyny publicly, someone who lets you talk about immigrants the way that you did at home, frees you. Let's face it, if you're a racist, then the things that were openly expressed in the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, into some of the 70s. Today, most racism, most open racism, is done quietly with a wink and a nod between friends, between family. It's not said publicly. And if your whole identity is wrapped up in your racism, then feeling free to freely express it is liberating. And it doesn't matter whether Trump is stealing all your money, because you now have friends who can also, you can be racist with. And when you listen to the rhetoric of the neo-Nazis, and obviously the neo-Nazis are a much more racist subset of the Trump voter, they're talking about, well, we can't be proud of our heritage. Why can blacks and Jews and gay people and Irish Americans and Chinese Americans be proud of their heritage, but we, the white guy, we can't be proud of our heritage? And I say, be proud of your heritage. If you're an English or Scottish immigrant, I mean, we have parades in Alexandria. We have Scottish parades. Now, no one claims that Scots are particularly oppressed in the United States of America, but they celebrate their culture. They come out with their kilts and bagpipes, and it's wonderful. No one tells Scots they can't march, or English Americans, or German Americans, or Swedish Americans, or any Italian Americans, Irish. We all, Native Americans, we all come from somewhere to this nation. The Native Americans obviously originate here. There's nothing wrong with celebrating ethnicity. Where it gets wrong is when you put down others' ethnicity. And if you want to live in a culture where everyone feels free to insult other people, which is still looked down upon, thank God, in 2018 America, well, the Trump voter and Donald Trump gives you that outlet. And I just have to go back to Lyndon Johnson's statement, where he said that if you tell, and I'm going to get the exact statement, I don't want to misquote it. If you can convince the lowest white man that he's better than the best colored man, he won't notice you're picking his pocket. Hell, give him somebody to look down on and he'll empty his pockets for you. This kind of racism has always been in the United States of America. It's just openly out there with Donald Trump. When Hillary Clinton said that the Trump voters who were racist and misogynist, that they were deplorable, she was right. Think about why they wear that as a badge of honor. 888-488-6275 if you want to call in. 888-488-6275. We'll be right back right after this.
He's a Harvard economist and a Yale lawyer. He does not keep up with the Kardashians. He's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, talking about the psychology of the Trump voter and wondering if there's a certain sense of belonging that people want and need in their lives. Actually, I'm not wondering that. I know it's true. Every human being needs a sense of belonging. We are all social creatures. We all need to be loved. We all need friends and supportive family. And part of that is your community, right? It's not only that you've got some love from your friends and your family, but most of us belong to a certain community. Sometimes those communities are defined by ethnicity. Maybe you're black or Asian or Latino. Maybe you're Jewish or Christian or Muslim. Maybe you're a particular kind of Christian. Maybe it's a Lutheran community. But it could also be a community of softball players, a community of hunters, a community of basketball players. It could be a community of people who play mahjong or who knit or people who like to go to book clubs or who like to go partying in nightclubs. There's lots of communities around, and most of us have to make our own community. But I think there are some, particularly in rural areas, particularly people who don't have a relationship, the ones who call themselves involuntarily celibate, who are angry. And they're almost all men. They're almost all white men. They're almost all, or a lot of them, are uneducated rural white men. Now, don't get me wrong. Lots of uneducated rural white men do have communities in their churches, on their farms, but it is a more isolating life to lead. And if you can be part of a community, again, I look at the way people join cults, right? Why do people join cults? The Church of Scientology is obviously a scam. Why do people join it? You know, there are people in Jim Jones in Guyana, in Jonestown, who literally drank the Kool-Aid, right? They drank Kool-Aid laced with poison, laced with arsenic, because that was what their community was doing. So it's no surprise that people join communities. There are good communities and bad communities. There are communities that do community work, that make life better. There are communities that are quite destructive. And there is a Trump community. And weirdly enough, it's not really about Donald Trump. It can't be. If you're an evangelical, you can't be pleased with the way Donald Trump treats his wives or women. That's not part of your religion. If you care about working people and you have a modicum of intelligence, you can't be pleased that he's taxing working people more with massive debt and giving it all to rich corporations. You can't be pleased that he's shutting down consumer protections or environmental standards. But that's not why you're a Trump voter now, is it? You're a Trump voter because culturally you don't trust intellectuals. You don't trust science. You don't trust the government. And the government is this huge monolithic thing rather than just a group of individuals who you elect who are good or bad or indifferent. You are conspiratorially minded because Donald Trump is a conspiracy theorist. And that community is one that Trump lets you belong to.
Back to the Aggressive Progressive, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, reporting live from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. At a time when Donald Trump is all over the map, when Rudy Giuliani has basically admitted to the press that Trump has been lying to us all along, the surprise is not that Trump has been lying to us all along. Any intelligent person can recognize that. The surprise is that he's admitted it. I mean, that's unusual to have Trump's representative say, yeah, he lied to you about the reimbursement for the payment for the porn star. And obviously, most observers believe that Rudy Giuliani has gotten his client into bigger and worse trouble. That's, by the way, true as a matter of law, because campaign contributions have to be disclosed. If the campaign contribution came from Michael Cohen, it has to be disclosed. Even if it was a loan from Michael Cohen, and I know this, I filed my own campaign documents, loans have to be disclosed. So even if Donald Trump paid it back, it has to be disclosed. Either Donald Trump loaned it to his campaign, it has to be disclosed. And frankly, Rudy Giuliani admitted in an interview on Fox that this was done to keep this out of the public eye for the purpose of the campaign. It's a campaign expenditure. It's actually quite similar to what John Edwards had, who was threatened with criminal charges for what he did, paying off a woman that was the mother of his child. Except the difference, of course, is Edwards didn't do it right before the election, and Edwards actually had some child support payments, which is a legitimate use of the money, not just a hush money. The point, though, is separate from the sordidness of the porn star. The only reason that matters, I think, is because these same Republicans that are so fine with Trump now were the first ones to complain about Bill Clinton and his somewhat sordid affairs. Although I think, frankly, compared to Donald Trump, Bill Clinton, you know, looks like a choir boy. But they're both bad. The difference is, I think, that liberals don't claim to be so pure about consensual sex acts. We don't want unconsensual sex acts, but consensual sex acts between adults, liberals don't usually get too upset about, even a porn star, even though he wanted to pay Stormy Daniels. So he thought it was like a prostitution situation. Turns out she didn't accept the money, but remember the other woman that he slept with, he wanted to pay her off in a prostitute situation. But my point is, you ask a liberal or conservative about prostitution, the liberal's more likely to say, yeah, I think it should be legal, regulated, and make sure the women are taken care of. But it's the conservatives who are more likely to say, no, this is abominable, disgusting behavior. And yet they're sticking with Trump. It goes against all their morality, but they're sticking with Trump. And the reason has to be, there's a couple reasons. One, it could be transactional, right? Hey, he got us a big tax cut, so I'm going to look past his moral failings. And you can make that argument for the billionaire class. There are not that many billionaires in America. But for that tiny, tiny percentage of Americans that are billionaires or extremely rich people, they voted for Donald Trump. They don't care what he does, lies or cheats or steals, because they're getting theirs. But if you're a poor person in West Virginia, and you love Donald Trump, and he hasn't helped you with jobs, he hasn't helped you with taxes, he hasn't helped you with schools, he hasn't helped you in any way, what has he given to you? And again, I talked with a friend of mine in rural West Virginia just this morning. What he gives them is the ability to say publicly what's privately on their mind. Never underestimate the power of racism. Never underestimate the power of misogyny. Never underestimate the power of people who need an excuse for their failures and want to use it to blame someone else for it. And I'm not saying only rural white men do this. Lots and lots of human beings don't want to admit their own failures and so blame someone else for it. There are liberal rural white men. Please be very clear about what I'm saying. But I think if you're a Trump voter and you want to say Mexicans are rapists and you cheer as he cheers the neo-Nazis in Charlottesville and you support this really awful rhetoric about women, then it strikes me that you have your own issues and, well, you share with others who have similar issues. 888-48-MARK, 888-48-6275. Let's go to Reggie in Georgia. Hey, Reggie, how are you, sir?
Happy Monday to you too, Mark.
Happy Monday.
As I tell your beloved call screener, your namesake, Marky Mark Grimaldi,
yep,
over a while ago, is that the reason why Trump supporters still follow him, would possibly vote for him again, is because of, well, conservative hate talk radio. That, you know, like the devil made him do it, you know what I mean? Like, you know, when they've been
conservatives love talk radio. They just don't like my talk radio, but they love talk radio. What do you say?
Well, yours is progressive.
Right.
Most of the talk radio is conservative.
Right.
And they practically own the airwaves because you guys to them are but mere blips on mere non-existent blips on radio.
No, that's true. 95% plus of talk radio is right-wing conservative. You're absolutely right about that.
Yeah, and I wish we had the fairness doctrine and the FCC's rules, regulations, and possibly laws to give people like us, such as yourself, equal time, you know, because when you to debunk their lies, you know, to challenge them, that goes for Fox News and InfoWars and the rest of them too.
Here's the difference is that, you know, I have an opinion. No one doubts I have an opinion. I have a very forceful opinion, but I work really, really hard to get my facts straight. And if someone shows to me that I got a fact wrong, I'll correct it on the air. I'll be like, oops, okay, the number is 30, not 27. Okay, fine. Show me a reliable source. You look at something like InfoWars. Well, that's the worst of the worst. I mean, that is the heart of conspiracy theory wacko stuff. I mean, Alex Jones, I think, said we faked the moon landing or something like that. I know he claimed that, you know, it's not just the right-wing issue. He claimed that Bush and Cheney planted bombs to take down the World Trade Center, which is a left-wing wacko conspiracy theory. But when you think about it, Donald Trump is the most prominent conspiracy theorist in the United States of America. I mean, more than John Birch. It was Donald Trump who pretended to believe, and even I don't think he's stupid enough to actually believe, but he pretended to believe that Barack Obama was born in Africa because he knew that his ilk, that there was a whole number of people out there in the United States of America who are willing to believe wacko conspiracy theories. And he, like, great, sign me up. So the wacko conspiracy theories, why shouldn't they go for Trump? He's the heart of these crazy conspiracies. I mean, what did he say, that Ted Cruz's father played a role in the assassination of John F. Kennedy? I mean, this is really weird stuff, the kind of stuff that, frankly, is so weird it's not even funny, you know? It's if it was on Saturday Night Live, you'd think no one would actually say this. Barack Obama wasn't born in Hawaii, he was born in Kenya. It's not even a joke. Who would believe this? You have to be extremely ignorant, or you have to be willing to say things that are extremely ignorant to attract those that are really ignorant. But go ahead with your point.
But those are dangerous things.
And yeah,
from coming
very dangerous.
From dangerous people.
Yeah.
From dangerous people who we should stop, you know. I mean, I know we can't get rid of conservative talk radio or Fox News Channel, but if we can't get rid of them, at least we could, shall we say, I don't know, regulate them. In other words, control and possibly discipline them when they get facts wrong.
So, you know what I think? I think Barack Obama should have sued Donald Trump.
Why you think that, Martin?
I think when Donald Trump said that he had proof that Barack Obama was born in Kenya, and that he never actually got around to disclosing the proof. Remember, he said he had people looking into it, but we didn't know their names. We didn't know what they were looking into. We don't know what they found. That's libel. That's slander. That's a false statement that is designed to defame someone. Now, it's true that it's really, really hard to win a lawsuit for defamation against a public figure. And that's actually good. That's the New York Times v. Sullivan standard. We want people to feel free to criticize the President of the United States. We don't want a president suing everybody who calls him a name or makes fun of him. That would be a very dangerous situation. But if it goes so far as to promote a clear slander that has absolutely no basis in fact and is done maliciously, in other words, done specifically when you know it's a lie, but you say it anyway, and I think that was true of the birther movement, you can sue.
Right.
And I don't know. I think Obama felt that, why should I give attention to this wacko thing? Nobody of any substance or intelligence really believes any of this. And I think he knew that Donald Trump didn't believe any of it. But when you say something that you know to be untrue in order to defame someone, that is the definition of malice, and that's an exception to the standard. So in hindsight, maybe President Obama should have sued Donald Trump. I don't know how to deal with conspiracy theories. I remember after September 11th, I had people on this show demand to come on my show and talk about the conspiracy, not Al-Qaeda conspiracy, but conspiracy among Republicans to blow up the World Trade Center. And I remember saying, you know, I'm a Democrat. I don't like Bush. I don't like Cheney. I don't think there's any excuse for the Iraq War. But I also don't know of any evidence whatsoever that they were involved with Al-Qaeda in taking down the World Trade Center. I don't think Cheney was planting bombs there. And you don't have any evidence of it. And they'd be like, well, the engineering, the way it fell. And it's like, well, you're not an engineer, and I'm not an engineer. But the engineers tell us that these things are very normal. And so I've dealt with left-wing conspiracies as well. But what I find interesting is that Republicans know Donald Trump is lying. Every single Republican elected official I've ever talked to about Donald Trump, I've never met a one who believes what Trump says. Not a one. In private. Now, in public, they'll say different things. In private, they tell me that, yeah, we know he's off. Yeah, or yeah, we know he's lying. Or, but we can't do anything because our primary voters might choose to vote against us if they know we turned against Trump. To me, it all reminds me of that old tale of the emperor that has no clothes. You know the story. It's a fairy tale. The emperor has been told he's got this invisible suit on, or I forget the details, that only he sees it as invisible, but everyone else sees it as clothes. And anyway, he goes out naked in the street. And none of the public is willing to admit that the emperor is naked because, well, he's the emperor. He's very powerful. He could punish them if they speak out. And people start to believe he must be wearing some invisible cloak because they hear nobody else speaking out. So they think, well, maybe their eyes are tricking them because no one else is saying anything. And then there's the young boy, the young child, who's too young to understand the intricacies of social pressure, too young to understand that, you know, you don't dare go against the emperor. And he just says, hey, the emperor has no clothes. And suddenly everyone can see, oh, yeah, you're right. The emperor has no clothes. I feel that that's true with Trump sometimes. You know, just recently, Neil Cavuto of Fox News, who's no liberal, who's a Fox News host, who normally gives the same right-wing spin that every other Fox host gives, that Bill O'Reilly used to give or Sean Hannity, he did an astonishing thing. I don't know if you saw it, Reggie. He went on for 4 minutes or so. You can watch it, maybe it's 2 minutes. And he just repeated Trump lie after Trump lie after Trump lie after Trump lie. He showed clips of Trump saying one thing and then saying the exact opposite thing again and again and again and again. Not only is this guy not a liberal, he's not even an ordinary Republican. He was a Trumpist Republican. He was a Fox Republican. But something in Neil Cavuto snapped, and he said, wait a minute, I'm not dumb enough to be tricked like this. And he did an amazing thing. I give him credit for it. He actually told the truth by simply showing Trump's lies for what they are. I don't see Sean Hannity doing that, because I think Sean Hannity knows, again, that he's contradicting himself, but he's given it up for the cause. Ann Coulter knows that she doesn't make any sense, but she's a performance artist. She's going to say these things. She's going to make money from it. But anyone of good faith, anyone with modest intelligence, anyone who puts the truth ahead of anything else has to know that the president is not lying to us the way most presidents do occasionally, once a month, a couple times a week. This guy's lying to us many, many, many times every single day about important things. And you can't miss it unless you have some psychological need to take your eyes and to avert them from what's going on. I'll give you the last word, Reggie.
I only wish that the rest of them could follow Neil Cavuto's example, because I think that they want to see this country destroyed rather than just try to help us save it. You know what I'm saying?
I think it depends on what you think of this country. You and I, Reggie, see a country that is great already. It's great because we have communities helping out one another, because we have terrific diversity in immigrants, in people of different religions and races and sexual orientations and cultures and interests. And we love that multicultural America, but they don't want that America. They want an America. When they say make America great again, the implication is clear. America once was great and now no longer is great. Well, America once was great and now no longer is great. The question I always want to ask is, when was America great? 1950s? 1920s? 1820s? You tell me when America didn't have problems. And invariably, the point of time that they think was great was a time when people that were various minorities were put down, either pre-slavery or pre-civil rights, or pre-women's rights, or pre-gay rights, or pre, you know, treating Muslims with respect. It's always about putting down someone else. And that's the part that Trump appeals to. When Hillary Clinton said, you know, they're racist or misogynist or other deplorables, I think she had a point. I'd like to know how someone could support Donald Trump and not be a racist. The only exception I could think of is the billionaire class. But if you're not a billionaire or a multimillionaire and you still like Trump, the question is why? 888-48-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back right after this.
Rumor has it he quotes the Constitution in his sleep. Is it Super Nerd? No, it's Mark Levin. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levin.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levin. No doubt, if a Trump supporter is listening to this broadcast, they'd be very insulted. How dare you call me racist? How dare you saying I'm lonely? How dare you suggest that I don't have a happy life? Okay. But if you're not going to base it on emotion, then you have to base it on fact. And it's really hard to defend Donald Trump on fact. You know, one of those basic logical things is that A equals A. And if you say one thing one day and the exact opposite thing the next, then you're lying. You're either lying then or you're lying now. And it doesn't require the failing New York Times or the cheating, I don't know what he calls, Washington Post. Doesn't matter what the liberal media says. If you show Trump saying one thing and then you show Trump saying the opposite thing and then you make sure it wasn't taken out of context, the man's a liar. That's what Neil Cavuto did. That's why I really think it is based on emotion. And that's why, as we conclude today's broadcast, I want to think about how to reach out to people like that. And if people, if my thesis is correct and people support Trump or support racism or hate immigrants or hate whatever, person of a different religion or sexual orientation or whatever, hate differences because they're lonely, because they have no friends, because they don't have a connection to a warm, welcoming community, well, let's try to be that warm, welcoming community. Let's bring them in. You know, there are a lot of ex-alt-right people, ex-neo-Nazis. There are people who were rejected. A lot of these people who end up being mass shooters were rejected by family, by friends, by a girlfriend, by a boss. Let's remember that we are all one human race, that we all live in this great country, United States of America. Let's reach out personally to people. And if you can't talk to someone about Donald Trump because they're not listening, show them your humanity. Reach out to them. Break bread with them. Show them that, yeah, you love animals and you like kids. And isn't it a beautiful day outside? If we can relate to each other as human beings, people won't feel they have to join these very destructive beliefs. Anyway, that's my thought today. This is Mark Levin. I'll be back on Thursday. For now, I'm signing.